We welcome you to our service tonight and to our time of baptism. We're excited about those who will come to be baptized. Let me first of all just add my congratulations to yours again and say thank you to Seth for a wonderful 20 years. For me, 18 years of that, but it's been a remarkable time to see how the Lord has used him to lead us in worship and music. So we rejoice in God's goodness to us in that. But again, we welcome you to our time of baptism this evening. We're excited about those who will share their testimonies. Let me first of all just remind you of what this is and isn't. There are those who believe that baptism has some contribution to actually making us right with God. But the truth is, the Scripture teaches exactly the opposite. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 thanks God that he baptized none of the Corinthians, and then he remembers one or two that he baptized, and makes it clear that it is not part and parcel of salvation. In fact, what you discover in the book of Acts is again and again, and you can read the book of Acts and see this time after time, that their first is repentance or faith, or they're both described. Of course, they go together. They're flip sides of the same coin. Repentance is a willingness to turn from your sin to Christ, and faith is turning to Christ. So it's one and the same, but there are different descriptions of those two acts that the Spirit produces in the human heart, those changes that are produced. But that is what happens to make us right with God. That is preceded, according to the Scripture, by something the Bible calls regeneration. Jesus described it like having our souls washed or bathed in John 13. That's the reality. That's what happens at the moment of salvation. God changes a person who is dead into a person who is alive. He gives life where there was only spiritual death. And at that moment, along with that new life, He grants us the capacity to believe and the capacity to repent. Paul calls repentance a gift, and faith itself in Ephesians 2, he calls a gift of God's grace. And so there's the change the Holy Spirit produces in response to the Word. He gives us life where there was death, and then he grants us repentance and faith to respond to the gospel message. He declares us right with God, that's justification, and the other things that happen at that moment, including our adoption and so forth. All of that happens without any water. That is an event that happens in the soul. It's something the Spirit produces. Baptism follows. In fact, Jesus put it this way in the Great Commission. He said, "Go into all the nations and make disciples." That is the process I just described, the moment in which regeneration, that new life begins, and a person begins to turn from their sin and to follow Christ. And then he says, once they've become disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the very pattern you see in the book of Acts again and again. They repent and they're baptized. They believe and they're baptized. Or sometimes it's said they repent and they believe and they're baptized. That's what's happening here tonight. This water has no power or capacity in it. It is simply a picture of the spiritual reality that's already occurred. In fact, it's a beautiful picture. I was reminding them in the back that it really describes that regeneration, being made new in Christ. As Paul says in Galatians 2, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's what this water pictures. It, among other things, it pictures the reality that at the moment these folks were regenerated and believed, that God changed their souls, at that very moment, the person they used to be died. And that's what going under the water pictures. And then it's as if they were buried with Christ when he was buried. And then as he was raised to new life, they too are raised to new life, were raised to new life at the very moment of their conversion, of their salvation. And so that's the picture of this water. It is just that, a picture, but a powerful one. I hope you'll pray for these tonight as they come to share the testimony of how God has changed them at the most basic level, produced repentance and faith in their hearts, and given them new life.
Hello, my name is Josue Beltran, and I'm here to share my testimony with you. Although I had always grown up in a Christian household and knew about God, it was very superficial, and I don't believe I was a Christian. I claimed to be one, but my actions didn't show it. I was never content with life, was rebellious towards my parents, and was always selfish. I was sad almost all the time because I felt life didn't have a purpose, and nothing I did brought me true happiness. It's like Ephesians 2:1 says, "As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins." I thought I could live my life however I wanted, because I wrongly thought God didn't care about my sin. And I thought if I did enough good deeds, I could earn my way into heaven. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." I didn't understand that nothing we do can earn a salvation, that salvation is only through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But after coming to Countryside, my life completely changed. Here, I truly heard the gospel for the first time, and my eyes were open to the truth. I was a wretched sinner, living in rebellion against my holy Creator, and nothing I could do would save me. The only way to be saved was surrendering my life to Jesus. Here, I understood the gravity of sin and why God, even though He's a loving God, has to punish sin. I understood what Psalm 5:5 says, "The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers." One verse that really helped me understand this is Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." In order to fear the Lord, I first have to hate sin. Another thing that Countryside taught me was the importance of the Bible, how the Bible is inerrant and how every single word is true and has to be obeyed. I now understand that the Bible is the only way to learn about God, that I have to long for it like a baby longs for milk, like 1 Peter 2:2 says. After coming to Christ, my life has completely changed. I now understand that the purpose of my life isn't myself or my goals. It's God and His glory. I now live a content and joyful life because I understand that true happiness comes from serving God and obeying His law. Something else that has changed is my love for the Word of God. I now read the Bible every day with joy, because I understand that reading it brings me closer to my Creator, and that by reading, I'm learning more about Him. I've also learned the importance of service and of doing it with a joyful heart. Before, whenever my parents asked me to do a chore or something, I would grumble and get mad. Now, I get happy, at least almost all the time, because I know I'm serving my parents and others. Another thing I now understand is what James 2:17 says, "Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Although works don't save, and nothing we do is powerful enough to earn salvation, works are a result of salvation. If I say I'm a Christian, I have to show I'm a Christian by obeying God's word. I know I will never be perfect, but I know I have to strive to grow in my sanctification every day. One verse that has helped me understand this clearly is Colossians 3:1. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God." I'm very thankful to God, first of all, because He chose me to be His son, having done nothing to deserve it, and that He brought me to Countryside. I'm very thankful with Pastor Tom, Justin, all the other faithful men for the expository teaching of God's word. And lastly, I'm thankful I got to witness a historic event, the end of Pastor Tom's sermons on Romans. I'm also thankful I'm able to be baptized tonight.
Well, Josue, because you described the very change that baptism represents, you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but even in the last text that you read there a moment ago, you have been raised to new life in Christ because he has produced that change in you, because you believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to be right with God. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Krista Daniels. I grew up in a Christian home and thought that's what made me a Christian. But I was like what Ephesians 4:18 says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. I thought I could fool people at church into thinking I was a Christian, but around my family I would drop the act. I constantly fought with my parents and siblings, and I even went through a phase where I hated everyone. I would intentionally daydream through sermons to try my best not to listen. Sin gloomed over even my happiest days, and I would ask God's forgiveness for relief, but my heart wasn't in it, and I would continue to sin. 1 John 3:6 says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or knows him. Around the eighth grade, I began to realize my need for the Savior. My friend Misty constantly shared the gospel with me. I got to see her love for God and others in her daily life. She was a great example of Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. And Psalm 119:2. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. I wanted to be just like her and have the same God as her. But I began to understand verses about repentance, like Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Acts 3:19. Repent, then turn to God, so that your sin may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. In my freshman year of high school, I truly repented of my sins and started my walk with Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the free gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Since I have repented, I have desired to know God better, turn away from sin, and learn more about his commands. I love others because God loved me first, and share the gospel with others. Now I love to study the Bible, go to church, fellowship with believers, and listen to the preaching of God's word. My desire now is to live my life like Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I am here today to proclaim that Jesus is the Lord of my life and that I believe John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is why I'm here to be baptized tonight. Okay.
Well, Krista, thank you for sharing your testimony with us, because you came to understand the absolute importance of repentance, because God worked that by his grace in your heart, because by his grace he also gave you the faith to believe in Christ. And as you put it from Romans chapter 10, you have believed in your heart all those things that Jesus declares about himself, and because you've confessed him as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Angel Gandara. Although having a surface level understanding of the general idea of scriptures, I lived a life of hedonism, only using scripture as something to reference when it was convenient for my lifestyle. As Ephesians 4:18 states, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. This attitude plagued my teenage years until the death of my father at age 16, when I realized how short life can be for any of us. The following 2 years after the passing of my father, who I always leaned on for wisdom and direction, had made me lean on our Father in heaven for wisdom and direction. And I started getting my act together morally, spiritually, and with an attitude of humbleness. That fire and relationship with God was short-lived after graduating high school, as my behavior and attitude and spiritual life regressed to what it once was, once again. I saw the sinful life that the people around me were living, myself included, and the effects that come from it. I realized no one was accountable for the residual effects of this sinful way of life. My conscience was constantly in a state of unrest, and after not having peace for so long, I realized that this was not the way I wanted to live out the rest of my life. I therefore began to search for God and His guidance once again. Long story short, I came to Countryside Bible Church one day back in 2019 and heard the teaching of Scripture and began to understand it like I never had, but always yearned for. I learned from Romans 3:17 and the path of peace they have not known, as well as Romans 6:4-7. Therefore, we all have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. I realized that was me, and I no longer wanted to live outside the will and providence of God. My life since I have come to Christ can be described as day and night. I repent from my sinful ways and realize that even my sinful thoughts and attitudes that only God and I know are just as sinful. I realize that I am totally depraved and hopeless, but my only hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Worldly advice was numbing at best, but as Philippians 4:6-7 states, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I cultivate my walk with God by meditating on the Word day and night, reading Scripture daily, fellowship, attending Sunday service faithfully, being of service, evangelizing, loving others, and having a Christ-like attitude in all my ways. As Proverbs 3:5-6 states, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So I am here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Angel, thank you. And because it's clear that you have come to understand your own sinfulness, your hopelessness apart from Jesus Christ, and because you are trusting solely in his perfect life, in his substitutionary death, and in his resurrection. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Danielle Price. My whole life I was raised in the Catholic Church. I was baptized as an infant and confirmed into the faith when I was a junior in high school. When you grow up into something, sometimes it takes a long time to start wondering if it's really true. It took me 26 years of my life to realize how far removed Catholicism was from the truth. My whole life I held on to Catholic teaching, relying on my own works to be justified, praying to the saints and Mary, going to confession through a priest, and non-negotiably taking the bread and body every weekend or worrying about losing a little bit of God's grace. I did not understand the real gospel and struggled to immerse myself in scripture because the Catholic faith does not fully teach it. I've always felt like I was a follower of Christ and have always felt his presence in my life guiding me. However, I know now I didn't actually know him, his teachings, and the truth about salvation. I never understood the concept of being saved, and I just assumed because I thought I was a Christian that I had been. Before realizing what it was to be a true Christian, I was unquestioning and compliant. I was comfortable in my version of faith, going along doing what I knew without batting an eye. I didn't understand why other people who weren't Catholic didn't get it. Why did they tell me it was wrong? I was insulted by being told I was incorrect for practicing Catholic doctrine and was ignorant in my misunderstanding of what Jesus calls us to do. I met my husband 3 years ago. He is a devout man of God. His family has a deep knowledge of scripture, and when I married into their family, I knew that God had brought them to me not only to find the person he created for me and to have beautiful children, but to ignite my burning desire for his word. It was then, almost 2 years ago, I began questioning the doctrine of the Catholic faith. We started having more in-depth conversations and sometimes even arguments about the differences in our beliefs. It was hard for me to talk about, but everything I was reading and everything that my husband explained about scripture was irrefutable. We started attending Countryside and one evening accidentally attended a baptism service. There were multiple people getting baptized who had grown up in the Catholic faith just like myself. Their stories the same. That opened my eyes and I realized I had so much more to learn and that the Lord was inviting me in. This was the first time that I grieved over my sin and acknowledged that I could not save myself. I needed Jesus and his boundless grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I had heard my whole life and thought that I believed that he died on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins, but the Lord has led me through countless small moments over the last year where I have come to truly understand and find confidence in what he has done on my behalf. I do not have one small aha moment. I have many as the Lord continues to teach me and show me grace. I have changed immensely since coming to Christ. I do not feel guilty for leaving the Catholic faith, and that is something I struggled with for some time. Although there were difficulties, I'm grateful that the Lord has brought me away from Catholicism and into the truth of his word. I'm confident in my decision to be a part of this church body. I'm confident in my decision to be baptized as a follower of Christ. I'm speaking directly to Jesus. I'm remembering him and loving him through the Lord's table. I'm reading and remembering scripture. I know now that my salvation is through his grace alone, and I'm excited to see how the Lord works in my life moving forward. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." For the first time in my life, I feel as though I am doing just that, accurately handling the word of truth. I'm here today to present myself to the Lord, unhesitant and unashamed. I am immersed into his word more now than ever, and I am in full understanding that my salvation is in his ultimate sacrifice for my sins, and as a faithful follower of Jesus, I am here to be baptized.
Well, Danielle, you are an answer to my prayer, and I know the prayer of many, because we pray often that the Lord would bring people into connection with this church and its members, where they would come to really know the truth of God's grace. Because you have abandoned all hope of anything that you are or have done, and because your hope is solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ as the way to be made right with God our Creator, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey y'all, my name is Madeline Alexander, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. I was always involved in church, and I knew about God and the gospel for as long as I can remember. I always thought that I was overall a good person because I obeyed my elders most of the time, everyone thought I was nice, and I knew all the correct answers in Sunday school. I thought that God would kind of sweep me into the door of heaven with the rest of my family, and that my good deeds outweighed my sins. But as Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 clearly describes, I was dead in my transgressions. I loved my pride, my rebellion, and my sin, and I had no love for God's word. When I was 10, I told everyone that I had accepted Jesus and become a Christian to please my family and to fit in with everyone around me. However, looking back, I was never really saved. As James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead. I had continued to give in to my sins, my pride, and I had no desire to repent and turn away. Through God's grace, in middle school, as I sat through the teaching in the youth group, I began to understand the gravity of my situation. One verse in particular that kept coming to mind was Romans 6:23, where it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I could not continue professing Christ, but loving and living in my rebellion. I was a sinner, separated from God, and I would be separated from him eternally if I didn't take my so-called faith seriously. So, in eighth grade, I repented of my sins and committed my heart and my life to Jesus. As it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, I'm not perfect. As it says in Romans 8:1 through 4, I am free from the bondage of sin thanks to Christ's sacrifice. I'm striving to be more like Christ through Bible reading and prayer, and I aim to be a light for the gospel in everything I do. As it says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others in such a way so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so tonight, I come to be baptized.
Well, Madeline, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. We are so grateful to see how the Lord brought you along through various lessons and messages to the truth that only Christ could rescue you from both the wages that your sin deserved and from sin's power. And because your trust is in Christ and in him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Brianna, and this is my testimony. My family and I have grown up attending church simply because we knew it was the right thing to do. I did not know why. I just know it was the right thing to do, and that's what God would have wanted me to, that's what God wants me to do. I made a false profession of accepting Christ as my Savior in the third grade after seeing a play about salvation. I had learned that accepting Christ was, as my Savior and loving Christ was the key to eternal life. I wanted to be right with God, but I had no interest in a personal relationship with Him. Instead, I cared more about friends, fitting in school. However, God placed a desire in my heart in the ninth grade. I began participating in my church's congregation and surrounding myself with those who I thought were spiritually mature. There is a book in Countryside's bookstore called When People Are Big and God Is Small, and that was the story of my life at the time. A verse I often followed as a response to that after seeking a church leader for advice was Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. My family made the big move from Cleveland, Ohio to Frisco, Texas in summer 2012 after my freshman year. I considered this a spiritual reset as daily scripture reading with prayer in Wednesday night youth groups became part of my daily routine. I was falsely baptized that September. I continued seeing the Lord move through different seasons of my life, occasionally struggling on how I handled certain situations. He continued working with me through the campus ministries I was a part of in high school and in college. I first attended Countryside when a friend invited me in November 2019. I was skeptical because it was different from my non-denominational and charismatic background. Still, it was a chance to find a stable environment with the church community after church hopping with my family for as long as we have lived in Texas. I took CBC for granted leading up to the stay-at-home order, given that I was in a troubled place in my life at the time. It was not until June 2020, after returning from lockdown, that I was faithfully attending the Sunday services and started attending the college ministry on Tuesday nights at the time. During that summer, the Lord blessed me with biblical counseling through CBC. I was confronted in the acts of my habitual sins. I attempted to run from God and hide from Him and the people who tried to help me out of the quicksand of idolatry I was drowning in, but I was not willing to let go or to grab anyone's hand. One specific sin was an on and off battle with anorexia eating disorder since the eighth grade. Sure, I was skinny, but I could be smaller. The numbers on the scale could be lower, and the food on my plate could be a lot less. I was hiding under baggy clothes to conceal the internal and external wounds. In November 2020, while in quarantine with COVID, after the church had shut down due to COVID, I had a virtual meeting with my biblical counselor. By God's grace and His loving kindness, He convicted me with His word. Repentance is part of salvation, not just faith. With the habitual sins I have held on to for years, and some for almost a decade, and I was not willing to let go, it was brought to my attention that I was not a believer after all. Though I was attending church twice a week, sitting under good teaching, and participating in other campus ministries, and even attended a Christian college briefly, I was in a state of self-deception. I did not know that Christians are incompatible with sin. At this turning point, my counselor directed me to 1 John 3:7-9. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. I have learned what it takes after my false baptism in 2012, I have learned what it takes to receive salvation through faith and repentance. I have discovered repentance is a command and not of a part of good works as I was taught in the past. Through Pastor Tom's sermon from this past Easter Sunday, I discovered historical faith from saving faith, which ultimately leads to repentance. Jesus says in Mark 1:15, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. I am not perfect, nor is anyone on the side of the earth, but I am called to be holy, as noted in 1 Peter 1:15-16. But just as he who called you to be holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' I am aware that repentance is a daily process in this life, and I need the Lord's strength to stay true to him. With every blessing and hardship, I will turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for it. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I am here tonight to openly declare my faith in Christ in obedience to his command. Peter states in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Well, Brianna, thank you for sharing your heart with us. We are so grateful for the work the Lord has done in you, because you have come to understand that the only way to know God is through the message Christ himself brought, to repent of your sins and to believe the gospel. Because you've done that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Brian Cumberledge. I grew up going to church, but never discussed God or the Bible at home. While in college, I turned to sin to fit in and lived a sinful life and was kicked out of college after 2 years. I then put all of my hope into my physical appearance and spent most of my time at the gym. At my first corporate job, I was introduced to many other sins that stayed with me with my life. I spent most of my adult life living in those sin patterns. This included what I listened to and watched. I married and divorced twice. I thought finances, material possessions, and fitness were the goals of a man. I always believed there was a God, and I cried out and prayed often, but I did not have a relationship with God and did not understand worship or God's characteristics. I had no regret over my choices or actions, and clearly not afraid of God. About 7 years ago, I met my wife, Jen. She said she wanted a Christian man, and well, I was wearing a cross necklace, and I called myself a Christian. After a few months of marriage, we were heading towards a divorce. We attended what we now know is a seeker-sensitive church for 5 years, that taught marriage success and moral behavior, but not the gospel. I was reading the Bible, but was reading to say I had read it. I was not studying God's word. During COVID restrictions, while watching our church service on TV, I realized it was entertainment and emotion driven. I was removed from the emotional aspects of being there in person and could now see it was not about God. Instead, I learned the gospel while watching YouTube, Paul Washer and Ray Comfort. What they said was a big shock to me. I thought I was a Christian, a good person, and going to heaven. But according to the Bible, that was not going to happen. My wife and I prayed continuously, asking God to direct our path. During this time, we watched John MacArthur, and honestly, I thought it was boring. Later, Pastor Tom was one in one of the recordings, and that is how we found Countryside Bible Church. I watched the baptism service at Countryside from home. The explanation of being saved, what baptism means, and all the testimonies of changed lives, it was all new to me. It was biblical truth and helped further my understanding of the gospel. I knew God was leading us to this church, and we started to attend the next week. My second week at Countryside, I started attending evangelism classes. It was then that I became aware of how holy God is and what he requires. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." I admit I had only started to fully understand the true gospel. That was a humbling moment for me. I'm currently 52 years old, and for over 35 years of my life, I claimed to be a Christian. I was never a Christian. Memorizing verses such as Matthew 5:48, "Therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," and Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I then realized I am not a good person and headed to eternal death. While I was hating the sin I was in and wanted to run from it, I was not trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in my life. I was still trying on my own to correct my life, and I was failing time after time. My heart was calloused and not truly repentant towards sin. Spurgeon said, "As labor renders the hand hard, so sin makes the heart callous, and each sin makes the stony heart yet more like adamant." I don't know the date of my salvation, but it was only this year that I gave up my own ways and admitted I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Proverbs 3:5a says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." I repented to God and decided to trust in Jesus as Lord and my Savior, as Lord and Savior in my life. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Because of this, my sins are forgiven, and my old life of pursuing sin is buried. I am not perfect, and the need for continual repentance will occur. However, I am now more aware of my sin, identifying it and turning against it. I am careful of what I consume in all aspects. 2 Corinthians 10, 5b says, "And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I'm learning to surrender my own will to the will of the Holy Spirit as I wish to give God glory and not live my life according to the flesh. I desire to learn and abide in the words of Jesus. I desire to be a godly man, a disciple of Jesus, and leading my family in a godly manner. I want to prepare myself to share the gospel accurately. I'm also currently in the one-on-one partners program here. I thank God for the gifts of teaching given to Pastor Tom and the other pastors and teachers here at Countryside. I'm now able to learn verse by verse what God's word means and apply it. I plan to live my new life by the scripture, Luke 9:23. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This is my confession of my repentance and trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Brian, I have to say, I love the fact that you went to an evangelism class to learn how to share the gospel, and you truly learned the gospel. God's providence is an amazing thing, isn't it? Because you have come to understand your own sinfulness, your own inability to make yourself right with God, but that your hope is in another, in the work of Jesus Christ and him alone. Because you've repented of your sins and believed in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Jen. I grew up in a Buddhist home and attended church in middle school. John 3:16 followed me throughout my adult life. I formed the idea that God is all love and all mercy, and I had no idea about his wrath and judgment. About 13 years ago, I dropped my daughter off at a church in Carrollton because I wanted her to learn Christian values. A few months later, I was told my daughter was curious about baptism and that I should support her. Next thing I know, I was baptized. I realize now I didn't understand what baptism meant. About 7 years ago, I started to attend a church in Plano. I enjoyed the entertainment and the comical pastor there because he would make me laugh. I was looking for self-help and hoping it would fix my life. When I read Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I thought it was impossible for anyone to read the Bible day in and out. During COVID restriction, I spent a lot of time watching sermons on YouTube. By God's grace, he led me to watch Justin Peters' messages to understand the difference between true and false teachers and their characteristic. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I thought that anyone who claimed to be Christian was a Christian. I thought that people who go to church and listen to Christian songs were Christian. Before I truly understood the gospel, when I witnessed to people, I share of how God blessed my life because of my belief in him. People would tell me, well, I'm glad it works for you, but it's not for everyone. I watched several Paul Washer messages on YouTube. Matthew 7:13 stuck out to me. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. At that point, I realized Christianity is not an easy path, and I must search for that narrow path and understand who God truly is. The more I learn about God, the bigger and more real he became to me. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I did not understand how offensive sin was to God until I understood the gospel. God is holy and just. He required perfect obedience from us. I needed to be reconciled to God, otherwise I'll be spending eternity in hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It wasn't until then I knew I was in trouble, a sinner who needed a savior. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I repented all my sin and believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I no longer think it's a chore to study the Bible. The more I read and research, I come to understand God's will for me. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understood. I now enjoy reading scripture, listening to hymns, and watching sermons from faithful men of past and present that I once thought were boring. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I enjoy learning about our Savior, learning to defend my faith, and desire to unite with other believers to strengthen my faith and hold me accountable. I am far from perfect, but by God's providence, I am choosing the narrow way and continue to put my focus on God's will rather than my own desires. I am grateful that we are here at Countryside. People are friendly and welcoming. I believe this is one of the fruit of Pastor Pennington's teaching. His messages have been a blessing to my life. I thank God for Countryside. In obedience to Christ, I'm here to be baptized.
Well, if you didn't catch it, Jen is Brian's wife, and the Lord brought both of them here, and God has redeemed them both by his grace. Jen, because you have come to understand your own sinfulness, because you placed your hope in Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, his substitutionary death, his resurrection, because you confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Dunbar, and this is my testimony. I was raised in a Christian home, so I often heard the gospel, but I wasn't truly interested in God or his word. When I was little, I thought you just had to say you loved Jesus, and that would save you. Of course, I couldn't and didn't love God. When I was a bit older, I would pray and say if God would just show me a sign, I would believe in him. But as I learned later in scripture, it says, "Now as the crowds were increasing, he began to say, 'This generation is a wicked generation. It demands a sign, and so no sign will be given to it, except the sign of Jonah,' Luke 11:29. As a teenager, I tried to resolve to be good, be nice to my siblings, and obey and listen to my parents. But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do it for very long. I would go back to rebelling and not loving my siblings like I should because I was not repentant. I didn't believe I hated God. I was just passive about him and his commandments, and that I was living in sin. But I was still an enemy of God. I would read my Bible, but never completely understood it, nor was I interested in understanding it more. In December of my eighth grade, I was reading in Matthew one night before bed. I read of Jesus' crucifixion. I had heard this many times, but God opened my eyes that night to my sin and need for a savior. I realized that Jesus died for my personal sin even while I was a terrible sinner. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He loved me before I loved him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I continued reading and read of Jesus' return someday. This caused me to think, would God be pleased with my life if he came back that very night? I knew I had done nothing but sin and that my life was not pleasing to God. I was in desperate need of a savior, so I repented and believed. I talked with my dad and mom about it soon after, and they walked me through what it meant to be a Christian and what living a life for Christ looked like. I remember them telling me it wasn't an easy life, which I have learned since my conversion. I now try to please the Lord in all I do and carry out the different commandments. I'm learning from his word, which I look forward to listening to on Sunday mornings, Wednesdays, and other opportunities, as well as in my personal reading of the word. I no longer aim to fulfill my desires, but long to do his will instead. When I sin, I repent and look to Christ for strength to help me wage war against my sin. I have a desire to know more about him through his word and spend time with other believers, putting them first in my decisions and actions. I try to read my Bible regularly and take time to understand and meditate on scripture. I don't just pray for my own desires anymore, but instead pray for others and for spiritual growth. And it is now a joy to serve others where I am able. Fellow believers invest in my life through fellowship, and I seek godly advice from my Christian friends and leaders. So that is why I'm here to be baptized tonight.
Rebecca, we hear in your testimony the realities of the gospel, that you've come to believe the truth of how we can be made right with God because you have abandoned your hope in yourself. You've come to understand your own sinfulness and that would never satisfy God, but rather your trust is in the work that Christ has done, that he has reconciled you to God. Because your trust is in him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Marian Kaposha, Similar to what you've heard from others tonight, I grew up believing I was saved when in fact I was completely ignorant about what it meant to be a Christian. Christ was not spoken of in our home, we did not read the Bible, and we attended a spiritually weak church. As the saying goes, we were Christians on Sunday and pagans the rest of the week. I had no desire to truly cultivate my relationship with God, nor to live for him. I didn't understand the excitement and interest that came from studying his word and joy that came from seeking after him. I certainly had no desire to go out in the world to make new believers, get them baptized, and teach them about the Lord. Nevertheless, I believed God was our creator, man was sinful, and Christ died for those sins. But in the end, those were just facts in my mind. I didn't take the time to connect them to myself as a sinner and truly evaluate God's role in my life. I was never an overtly sinful person. I did all the right things. I had A-plus grades, followed the rules, I didn't curse, and I regularly attended church and youth group activities. This just made it that much easier for Satan to convince me that what I was doing counted as good enough. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I used my good girl status as a blindfold for my sin and disobedience. Believing I was already saved, or even that I counted as always being a Christian, I struggled with what I thought was assurance, but which was actually God calling on my heart to repent and believe. At 16, I asked my youth group leader how people know for sure that they're saved, as I began to grow concerned somehow that my view of my salvation was illegitimate. Our pastor once referenced Matthew 7:15, 23 in a sermon, and from then on, I became consumed with an indescribable feeling of foreboding and dread whenever it was mentioned. The scripture says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Isn't that just the scariest thing you could ever imagine? From then on, I felt like I heard it everywhere. It was a voice in the back of my mind telling me I was unsaved. Unsatisfied with my youth group leader's reassurances, I proceeded to respond to every single altar call opportunity in the hopes it would provide me with some kind of assurance I suddenly so desperately craved. Unfortunately, I didn't realize I was still missing a very crucial piece of the puzzle. It wasn't until I attended a teen youth group service at a neighboring church that I heard the gospel in a new way that opened my heart. In addition to a worship service, the program put on a skit about what happens after death for both the saved and the unsaved. And wouldn't you know it, Matthew 7:15, 23 was mentioned. In that moment, I turned red, I felt myself shake, and I was reduced to tears. I suddenly knew, and not just knew, I understood the depths of my sin and my separation from God. I understood there was nothing I could do as a good person to earn God's favor, and that simply knowing Christ died on the cross for me wasn't enough. I had to recognize my sin, hate that sin, and turn away from it, begging Christ for forgiveness. I needed to believe in his death and resurrection and be reborn and made new in Christ. I vowed to live my life for God and to learn and share as much as I could from that moment on. While my demeanor and actions didn't undergo a dramatic shift as it might for someone who faced a more outwardly obvious sin, I went through an immediate internal change. I went from someone unsure of her salvation and ambivalent about understanding the word of God to someone who made Christ the central focus of her life each and every day. I desired a deeper understanding of the Bible and of God. I wanted to be surrounded by Christian books and music. I would not allow myself to be around content that disrespected God in any way. I found myself continually in prayer and looking for opportunities to mention God in conversation. These may not seem like significant things, but for a shy 16-year-old, trust me, it was a big deal. I continued to attend a spiritually weak church for many years. And while I've continued to grow and learn, as all believers do, the largest leaps in my spiritual growth have come over the last few years as I've sought after churches with a biblically driven doctrine. However, I've only just a few weeks ago realized the imperative of baptism. I knew many people often did it after being saved later in life, but the churches I attended didn't promote it or explain it as one of those ordinances Christ gave the church as a matter of obedience. So I thought it was just something that I missed out on, and I have to sit and watch others and not be able to participate myself because I had missed my opportunity. There's nothing optional about baptism. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's shameful to recognize I've gone 18 years without making this realization that baptism still applies to me despite the passage of time. But believe me when I tell you, as soon as I found out what I needed to do, I sought to rectify this error immediately. So I'm excitedly here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Marianne, we are so grateful for your sharing your story with us. We're grateful for the way the Lord brought you along to understand his grace, to abandon all hope in yourself, to repent, even as you described it so well, and to put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Because that's the reality of your heart, and because you have noted your confession of him as Lord and you are following that up by obeying him as Lord, even in baptism. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? You have heard the gospel 10 different ways, and yet in the end, it's the same story. Each life comes into direct encounter with the gospel, and the Lord changes hearts. That's my prayer, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, that even as you've heard from a couple of those who shared their testimony, that this will be the beginning of God's work in your life to bring you to know him as they've come to know him. Let's pray for these who've been baptized, and I hope you'll do that faithfully. You'll choose one or two of them and remember them over at least the week or two to come. Let them know you'll be praying for them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are amazed at your grace. Lord, we acknowledge that we grow up in many different circumstances and situations with different family backgrounds, with different connections, whether it's complete paganism or false religion or false hope and false profession. Lord, in the end, you have to bring us to the end of ourselves. You have to bring us to see our need of a Savior, and that nothing that we are, nothing we can do, can ever make us right with you, but only the work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That it's only when we acknowledge our own helplessness and hopelessness and cry out to you, the Savior, the Redeemer, it's only in you we find hope. It's only in you we find forgiveness and salvation and new life. And Father, we thank you that you are gracious and quick to hear the cry of a repentant sinner, even as you've heard these and you've heard so many of us. Lord, I thank you for the work you've done in each life. I pray for Josue and Krista, for Angel, for Danielle, for Madeline, for Brianna, for Brian and Jen, for Rebecca and Marianne. Lord, I thank you for the work you've done in each of their lives to bring them to this day, and I pray you'd continue the work you've begun. We know that you will, because you have assured us that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would continue that work in them and in us, and I pray for those who may be here tonight who have not repented and believed in Christ, that you would bring them to that place even tonight. Lord, give them life where there's death. Give them repentance and faith to believe in you and in your Son. For it's in his name and for his glory that we pray. Amen.